New on 10 at 10, an East Texas alderman is suing the city he represents.
Coffee City has been served but has not responded to the federal lawsuit, at least not yet. CBS 19 Field Sutton went to their city council meeting tonight. And Field, some people feel this lawsuit is a conflict of interest.
Yeah, Justin and Jillian, they were the ones who told us about this lawsuit to begin with. However, no one with that opinion has agreed to speak on the record. Meanwhile, Alderman Don Weaver's filing demands a whole lot of money from a city on a shoestring budget in this CBS 19 exclusive.
Donald Weaver.
Here.
It was nowhere on the agenda tonight, but Coffee City is well aware of the lawsuit brought by Alderman Don Weaver. The mayor and the rest of the council spent nearly an hour behind closed doors talking about it while Weaver waited outside.
It's been over 2 years now, and it was I was served as a juror on a turn signal violation. And it all stemmed from that, and like I said, you would not think that something so minor would stretch on for so long.
After the meeting, Weaver agreed to talk with us about the lawsuit. His time on that municipal court jury ended with his own arrest in September of 2011, accused of jury tampering. Weaver eventually pleaded no contest on a lesser charge, and now he wants his record wiped clean.
Nothing is very simple. Everything takes a long time, and the longer the time takes, the more money it takes.
The expunction process itself requires no lawsuit. Weaver says that's to get his money back. It accuses police of not having probable cause for the arrest and showing an indifference to his civil rights, and the city, failure to provide supervision or training. Weaver is not sure how much he has spent, but he told us it might be around $15,000.
You're asking for $500,000.
No, that's news to me. I didn't know that.
Okay, you didn't? That was what it said in the suit in the prayer for relief.
Well, see, I haven't seen the suit.
Weaver's suit also asks for unspecified punitive damages.
You represent the city, and
yes, I know.
You're suing the city.
I can see why they would be concerned and so forth there. But see, here again, I was talking about the time frame. I didn't choose the particular time frame. I didn't choose the thing to begin with. I didn't choose.
We did want to talk with the rest of the council and the mayor, but they all left while we were interviewing Mr. Weaver, and our calls to the city attorney have gone unreturned.
Okay, so Field, this was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Was Weaver even on the city council then?
Actually, he's only been in office for about a year, and that's what he was talking about there at the end of the story. He says the way he looks at all this, it was just kind of an unfortunate accident of timing.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the show. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the problem with the courts, the problem with judicial and legal extortion. And we have the perfect example to give about it. This is the local lawsuit that you heard the news clip about. And the circumstances surrounding that news clip were what started off the website Concerned Citizens of Coffee City. Now, let me read you a little bit from this week's editorial in the Frankston Citizen. This is the editorial for Thursday, February 5th. Weaver learns importance of elections. The settlement of the Don Weaver lawsuit against former police chief Ray Threadgill in the city of Coffee City contains an important lesson for all of us. What businessman Weaver said he learned from the 3-year ordeal is that it does matter who is elected, even in small local government, because the opportunity to abuse power is so great. Weaver's trauma began back in 2011 when Coffee City was about as contentious a place as one could find. After years of corrupt city government and unaccounted for and disappearing money, a new council had suddenly and surprisingly been elected. This new council wanted to move the city forward by great leaps, and it was discussing millions of dollars of investment in a sewer plant and things like property taxes. To oppose this council, and particularly the property tax, a group called Concerned Citizens of Coffee City was formed in 2010. Don Weaver was a member of this group. I was covering Coffee City for the Frankston Citizen that had been the newspaper of record for the city when Mayor Tony Moore was not mad at us. The mayor was someone who screamed at citizens during the council meetings and endured no opposition. But the first time I remember thinking that the power abuse was getting out of hand came over the fake subpoenas issued by the mayor. Pam Drost, a member of the Concerned Citizens, had been elected to the council, and she had looked at the records of then-police chief Ray Threadgill. This so enraged the mayor that he drew up a sort of faux legal document and had the Coffee City Police serve it on Councilman Drost in early August of 2011. The faux legal document charged Drost with violating Government Code 552.1175 and threatened her with 180 days in jail and a $1,000 fine. Later, City Attorney Kurt Noel wrote a letter to Drost that repudiated the mayor's document. Wait a minute, I thought. This steps over the line. This was using some perceived power of city government and the police in an attempt to intimidate a citizen. As a reporter, I was neutral on the politics of Coffee City, and I was trying to remain so. I was generally impressed by Police Chief Threadgill, and I had written an article that portrayed him almost as a hero in the arrest of a Houston-area murder suspect. However, the rumors persisted that someone, most assumed Councilman Drost, was about to be arrested and charged with a felony crime. It was supposed to happen at the August 2011 council meeting, which came and went without incident. Then, on September 9th, 2011, citizen Don Weaver was arrested at about 5:30 p.m. on a Friday and taken to Henderson County Jail at 10:30 p.m. by Coffee City Police. The arrest, a month in the making, appeared to be timed to keep Weaver in jail over the weekend. Weaver had no idea what he was being arrested for, and neither did anyone at the jail. After spending overnight at the jail, he likely surprised his arresters by bonding out with a $3,500 cash the following morning and coming back home to his Coffee Landing Road house, still without knowing what he had done wrong. I heard about the arrest, and I talked to Police Chief Threadgill, who told me his department had a video of Weaver dead to rights, breaking law when he was on a Coffee City Municipal Court jury to decide a traffic ticket over a turn signal on July 29th, 2011. Threadgill presented this as serious three-felony business that would subject Weaver to a punishment of up to 10 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. Now really, wait a minute, I thought. All this over a traffic case for a driver not using a turn signal in Podunk Coffee City Municipal Court? That cannot be serious. Serious as ruin your life felony jail time, Threadgill contended. The jury had come back deadlocked, and Weaver, who had made the mistake of being elected foreman, had turned the form into the judge as the driver being not guilty. He falsified a government document, the chief said. This hardly sounds like a 10 years in prison crime of the decade, I said, but Threadgill raised his voice at me and insisted he had the whole thing recorded. I didn't know Weaver except by sight, but I talked to him about this crime of the decade and came away convinced. While he might have done something wrong in a minor sense, he had not committed anything like a felony. I talked with prosecutors in Henderson County who were stunned and shocked when they found out the details. They had only known what had been presented by the Coffee City Police, and they said this travesty of justice would quickly be undone. However, it took a while. The arrest warrant signed by Precinct 3 Justice of the Peace Kelly Harris could not be found. I talked to Police Chief Threadgill again. I said I wanted to see the recording he had made of Weaver's crime. There is no recording, he then contended. He said there had never been a recording. He didn't know what I was talking about. But you told me you had the whole thing recorded, I pressed. Threadgill claimed he said nothing of the kind. A police chief who cannot keep evidence straight is not a good thing, I thought. Weaver saw his charges reduced to a misdemeanor, paid a $500 fine, and then found an attorney to clear his name. In the meantime, he was elected to the City Council of Coffee City as the Concerned Citizens took control. One of the first things that happened was that Chief Threadgill resigned to take a job with the railroad. When the new regime cleaned out his desk, a recording was found in the back of Weaver's case, But it also included a section where Threadgill, Mayor Moore, and City Attorney Noel stood around mouthing bad things about Weaver. So then I understood why Threadgill had lied about recording this incident. The recording was bad for the prosecution of the Weaver case. In the end, Weaver cleared his name in court, had the record expunged, and filed a lawsuit against Chief Threadgill and the city he was then serving as councilman. That lawsuit in federal court was settled on January 20th, 2015, after 3 hours of mediation. Weaver said that this case began with intimidation and ended with the same. He said that Texas Municipal League lawyers representing Coffee City did not even bother to discuss Weaver's innocence in the matter. All they said was that they would fight him through the appeals court forever, and that would cost him at least $80,000, and he would never in his lifetime see any money. So he settled for $9,000 to get some of his legal fees back and vowed to stay in public service for the rest of his life to keep this sort of thing from happening to others. As a newspaper man who wrote about this story, I am still shocked that this kind of thing could happen to an ordinary citizen. Our country will not work if the power of government can be used to intimidate citizens, and that is true whether it's a police chief in a small town of 500 people or the Obama administration using the Internal Revenue Service to intimidate persons with political viewpoints it does not favor. Government abuse is the main thing that America's founding fathers sought to prevent when they composed the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. This protection they gave us indeed hangs by a thread every day. J. Tom Graham. Well, Ghost, right off the bat here, since you're the expert in the room on this sort of thing, what is the TML?
It's the mafia of lawyers that the city retains on a yearly subscription that you, the taxpayer, have to pay for.
Is it just Coffee City that retains them?
Just about every city in Texas. It is a mafia league of lawyers, and they're doing exactly what they did to Weaver. They're extorting justice, of course, and blackmailing the citizens into accepting their decisions without adjudication.
Now, and TML stands for Texas Municipal League. Now, that sounds mighty official, and
you sure it's not Texas Mafia Lawyers?
Well, it is Texas Mafia Lawyers in the sense of reality, but if you go to their website, it's the Texas Municipal League, and what I'm getting to is, you know, it's been said a lot of times about the Federal Reserve, they say the Federal Reserve is no more federal than Federal Express. The Texas Municipal League, is that a governmental entity?
No, it's a private entity that these cities subscribe to the services.
And so when the Texas Municipal League is taking this money from all of our cities, you know, and everyone knows that when a city pays for something, that the city didn't create the wealth they're paying for it with. They took it from the citizens in the form of taxation. So they pretty much consider that it's not like if you go and hire an attorney and you sue somebody, and you have to figure, okay, what is the loss? What is the gain? It's like money doesn't exist to them because they know that we didn't have the choice to pay them in the first place. They got paid via taxation, whether we wanted to pay them or not. And if they need more money, they just come get more, right?
Well, yeah, Texas Municipal League technically is a overbroad or insurance company for cities. And what's really happening is that you've got, just like a welfare state, a small city like we live in here is a welfare city when it comes to TML. And actually, Dallas and Austin and Houston are picking up the tab for the corruption that goes on in these smaller cities through that insurance policy. So it's not helping anybody in Texas, other cities, especially just larger cities, having to pay for the debts and the crimes of these small cities.
Yeah. Well, okay, so we've got a good baseline on what the TML is. Now, there's another thing that I want to go into here so that we get everybody on the same page with us. Talk about qualified immunity.
It's a fiction that they've come up with in the court system to cover their own butts so they never get charged for the crimes they commit. And it's a round robin thing. A judge gives a policeman qualified immunity so he doesn't get charged with the crimes he committed, And therefore, when he's pulled over on the road, the cops give him qualified immunity and never write him a ticket. They set themselves up above and immune from the law is what it really is. It's not immune from, technically immune from justice. They're immune from the law of Texas.
Yeah, and more specifically, in the legal sense, when it's used in courts, qualified immunity is, it's almost a quasi-religious doctrine because it requires faith, since it was never written into the United States Constitution or the Texas Constitution or any one that I know of any truly representative republic. What qualified immunity, if you go, you Google it, you look it up on Wikipedia or Justia or any website that covers legal issues, qualified immunity is the doctrine that so long as the cop didn't know any better, and it's qualified immunity applies almost exclusively to cops. The higher government officials like prosecutors and so forth, they get what's called absolute immunity, which is the same thing, but it covers them even more. But the qualified immunity is basically the doctrine that as long as you didn't know any better, you know, that you didn't know that you were violating a citizen's civil rights, their constitutional rights, then it doesn't matter how egregious the violation was, you're innocent.
It doesn't have to be the rights. They're out, they're committing crimes, they're committing perjury, they're committing fraud, they're creating fake evidence to trump up charges on people.
Sure.
And they're claiming qualified immunity when the laws of Texas particularly does not give them that immunity.
Yeah.
Now, Texas does have some immunity written into its constitution, but it's not for policemen. It means legislators cannot be arrested while they're serving in office in Austin at the legislature. That doesn't mean they can't be arrested when that particular term is over, because they will be. But they're not allowed to be arrested. And we had a case where Dan Morales was the attorney general, and he claimed that immunity, that he could not be arrested because he was a public official. He was the attorney general of the state. No, he was arrested because he didn't fall into that legislator angle.
Well, and even with the immunity that you're talking about, if a legislator has committed a crime, the only immunity that gives them is that they can't be arrested while the legislature's in session. They can wait and arrest them as soon as the session of the legislature expires, can't they?
True. They will be, usually.
Well, okay. So moving forward into the details of this case, the reason that I brought up qualified immunity is because when they sat down at the mediation table, Weaver, his attorney, and the attorneys from the TML who were representing the gross criminal, Ray Threadgill, that was one of the threats that they told him. They said, you know, not only what was quoted in that editorial, that they would appeal, that it would cost him another $80,000, which who has that, he'd never see any money in his lifetime because they keep it tied up in court. So I think the real nail in the coffin on that thing, and I don't blame him for taking it seriously because there's precedent right here in Coffee City, was that they would ask the judge for qualified immunity and they would get it. So even after he had spent all that money and gone through all the appeals process, a judge could just step in and completely trump a jury and say, well, the hell with the facts, qualified immunity, no money for you, game over.
That's why this whole system of government and so-called democracy in the United States and in Texas is not working anymore. It's a broken system.
Well, yeah.
This case against Weaver is a small chunk that's very visible at the moment about what is wrong with this entire system.
Sure.
This article didn't even touch the major players in here. It touched one on Ray Threadgill, the former policeman here in Coffee City. But there was involved a mayor pro tem, a municipal judge, and a justice of the peace, all involved in this slam up. And the tape they suddenly disappeared that they didn't have for evidence was video of the jury in session, which is another felony performed by the city of Coffee City at that time. You're not allowed to videotape or record any jury deliberations.
Well, that's why they call them private jury deliberations, is it not?
It's the law, and they broke the law, and then they lied about breaking the law. You know, you read the story a while ago, and people can read it on the site when they click on the links.
Yeah.
It's just incredible that a policeman who is no better than you and I, probably much less on the IQ level than our particular listeners, who are much higher on the IQ level than he is, that he would have that much authority and that much privilege given to him because he made $20,000 a year as a police chief.
Well, you know, there's we have a lot more involvement in this story than just having read it in the paper, as I'm sure a lot of people know already. You know, the website ConcernedCitizensCoffeeCity.com, one of the things that really spurred you to start that website was the Weaver arrest. The Weaver arrest occurred on July 29th of 2011, and by August 11th, you had the Concerned Citizens of Coffee City website up and running, right?
Yes, and I was calling for the imprisonment of Mayor Tony Moore, of the Mayor Pro Tem John Graham, imprisonment of the municipal judge, and the police, and the policeman that were arrested, police chief, and the policeman that arrested him. It was all bogus, trumped up. It was a lie. It was included perjury. I'm surprised that the Justice of the Peace has not come back and filed perjury charges against those players that filed those fake documents before his court.
Well, you know, I guess if of all the criticism that was, you know, shoveled towards us from the city and their supporters at the time, you know, all three of them, if I were to distill it into one question, it would probably be this. Who do you think you are getting so uppity and making a website that criticizes the city?
I'm a citizen that saw the abuse and saw the a poor innocent man who was forced to do his civic duty through most insane jury calls you've ever seen in the world at this little tiny city at the time. They would call everybody at once, everybody, to be there, even though they were going to need five people. But I saw the injustice, I saw it went down, and I've had enough.
Well, and as citizens of a republic, both the republic known as the United States and the republic known as Texas, we have every right to question our government, don't we?
Not according to those people we just put out of office, no.
Well, I
those
think
people should be in prison right now, and they should be the ones suffering behind bars for what they did to Mr. Weaver.
Well, and that's, you know, and that is something that is not unique to our area, is it? I mean,
no.
Even no matter what happens, you never see these people go to prison anymore. I mean, when did Oliver North go to prison?
Well, we got involved also. You got the county attorney and the district attorney who played along with the city of Coffee City at that time and the police chief and all the lies and the perjury and kept a charge against this man knowing he was innocent. They knew he was innocent.
Well, yeah, and that's another thing that I think kind of got glossed over, if not necessarily purposely, perhaps just for reasons of print space. But, you know, it says right here in the editorial that when the county attorney and the district attorney found out the nature of the charges, that they said that they were going to put a stop to it immediately, but they didn't. It went on for 3 years. Or not for 2 years, the criminal case, and well, nearly three, and the county attorney actually prosecuted this thing to the hilt, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
I mean, he would not, even with incontrovertible evidence that it was 100% BS that was motivated by Threadgill's lust for power and his willingness to do the dirty work of the Mayor Pro Tem John Graham and the retarded, backwards idiot Mayor Tony Moore, that's what motivated this thing. And the thing that really got it going, the thing that put Weaver right in their crosshairs was that he was an outspoken critic of the property tax. He was showing up to the council meetings. He was showing up to the EDC meetings, and he was showing up to the Briarwood Bay POA meetings where a lot of the politicking was going on, and he was a vocal proponent. And one day, the Elmer Gantry-like preacher, who was the mayor pro tem at the time, who had illegally assumed the duties of the mayor's office, showed up at Weaver's antique store with Threadgill, and they tried to get Weaver on board. And when he told them that he was not going to change his mind, that he was not going to stop opposing the property tax, Threadgill looked him right in the eye and he said, "You're not going to stop it." And a couple of weeks later, they were taking his mugshot. Now, do you think those events are unrelated?
That, and along with the fact that he revealed at a city council meeting what was stated in an open meeting in an economic development corporation meeting, which set the mayor pro tem's eyes and butt ablaze, and he made Weaver a target for him. This whole thing was prearranged by John Gray. I'm going to say his name.
Yeah.
He's a mirror peeping Tom, the city. We all know it, and nobody will do a thing about it.
Well, now, and if anybody doesn't believe that's true, I want to make it clear, and this is a matter of public record, that John Graham sued me and three fictional characters over the allegations that he had a two-way mirror in his bathroom. He did with camera equipment behind it, and he never denied the allegation that he had that equipment. He merely didn't like the characterization that, you know, little kids might go in there. And he sued me. And when he received my interrogatories asking him questions, he dropped his lawsuit and ran away. And not only that, we have video of him in open city council meeting admitting to you and everybody at that meeting and to the whole world that he did indeed have that mirror and that equipment, and that the only thing that bothered him was he wanted to know who had told us. And that was also covered in the very same paper that we just read from. I mean, this is the cast of characters that we're talking about. And this is not limited to Coffee City. I mean, you look at international news, and everywhere you look, that we have people in power who are just eaten up with corruption, eaten up with perversion. I mean, look at what's going on in Rotherham, England, with the pedophile grooming rings getting covered up and the police being involved and the entire city council resigning because it just came out that they were involved in some of the abuse of these children. It's like every governmental entity everywhere, if we don't watch it, it gets filled up with people that make the stuff that went on in the movie Eyes Wide Shut look like a Sunday morning Baptist social, you know.
Getting back to the Weaver thing, what made him the target of John Graham was he brought out the fact in a citizens meeting, which John Graham was not invited. Everybody was invited, so he came. They pointed out to the citizens what the EDC was planning, and they were planning a motorcycle rally, which would have new strippers there, girls and, you know, in no clothes at all running around, and have sex in the open ground in the evenings. And this was talked about in an open meeting at the EDC. So why did he get upset over him repeating an open meeting discussion is absurd, but that was their way of thinking, that he was out to get them. All he did was talk about what they said, and that made him a target. And then from then on, he got with Threadgill and Mayor and all of them, and the judge, all of them targeted on him. I wouldn't doubt that the whole case of being set in a juror, being, you know, chosen as a juror was part of the setup, probably.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we've discussed that before with Alderman Weaver. He was called over and over and over again to be a juror up there. And after this happened, the minute that the charge got dropped, he was selected for another jury pool. And when he got up there, the city attorney, Kurt Noel, who was intimately involved in all this garbage, you know, he was the octopus with a tentacle in every bit of it, you know, the hardest one to get to. He was never around, but whenever it came right down to it, he was always the one shoveling the biggest pile of horse manure.
He knew he was around, he smelled the vodka.
That's right. That's right. He enjoyed the LaShine vodka. But, he showed up at that meeting, and he started some kind of like, are you loyal to the Communist Party thing like they did in East Germany? Is, you know, who loves the government of Coffee City? Raise your hand. Who thinks that the government of Coffee City is great? Raise your hand. And then when Weaver and one or two other people didn't raise their hand, he just really started to read them the Riot Act. And, it was a whole setup he was just using the jury pool again. He did that, and then he supplied the details of who raised their hand and who didn't to John Graham, who immediately wrote a long and insane letter to the paper denouncing Weaver because it was during the election. It was a couple of weeks before the election. I mean, they were, even after they had stepped in doo-doo trying to prosecute Weaver over a turn signal trial, they were dragging him back up to the municipal court, to the jury pool, to try to get more dirt on him.
If people go back to our website, HiddenMysteriesRadio.com, you'll see a program there that we did a couple of weeks ago about taking your city back. And this is, I guess you could call it a continuation, since a news article came out, of that same program. And it's a whole empowerment setup that you can take your city back by throwing them out and putting yourselves in. But you can't throw them out and just elect somebody else. You got to put yourselves in there to make sure it's done right, or it will not be done right.
Sure. No matter how good of people that you get in there, you have to stay on them. You know, I mean, you can be friends during the day, but once they're up there, once they put on their mayor hat, their councilman hat and all that, you have to hold them accountable. Isn't that right?
Yes. And then we've been holding the new one accountable, but they've been so honest a lot of times, you know, it's hard to hold them accountable for anything, because there's some things we don't like that they might have done and things they didn't do we wanted to done. But I think we're going to get to all our goals that we wanted over time.
Yeah.
I guess it's not as instantaneous as we'd like to see it.
Well, and that kind of brings me to this other point that I was going to make. You know, when they told Weaver that they were going to give him the qualified immunity, he had every reason to believe that that's what would happen, because that had happened before with a Coffee City official who is still a Coffee City official. He's the police chief now. And here's a story from 2009 in the Tyler Morning News. It's Vietnam vet suing Coffee City police. And I'm not going to read that whole story, but we will link to it in the blog post right below this podcast. And what happened was a Vietnam vet got pulled over for going about 60 miles an hour in a 55-mile-an-hour zone going through Coffee City on Highway 155. There was no other incident. He wasn't drinking, nothing like that. The police chief had him pulled over. I believe he was running his license. And the guy who's the police chief now, who at the time was a sergeant named Donnie Malone, for some reason drove up in a panic, jumped out of his car, put his gun to this elderly Vietnam vet's head, and it should be noted that he had just had surgery on his neck. And before he could even give him before he gave him 1 second's opportunity to comply with whatever order he may have blurted out while he had his pistol to the man's head, he put him in a headlock and dragged the old man out through the window, requiring more surgery. Well, the man went, and he hired an attorney, and they took Malone to this same court, the Federal District Court in Tyler, Texas. They took it before a jury. The jury convicted him of assault and battery. And when it came time to award the man his damages, the judge said, nope, qualified immunity, as though Malone, and this may be true about him because he is very, very stupid, but as though it's somehow reasonable to expect that Malone didn't know any better than to think that just because somebody was pulled over on the side of the road for going 60 and 55, that it was not okay to jump out, shove his gun in his head, grab him by the neck, and yank him through the window of his car. Now, this is the same court that Weaver was going to have to go to. So, I mean, when we were talking during preparation for the show, you called this judicial extortion. Could you, judicial and legal extortion, expand on that a little bit?
Well, when You have the right to justice. You're supposed to have the right to justice in this country. That was our common law right that was instilled in the U.S. Constitution and written into law in Texas, that we would always adhere to the common law of England. And they have taken so many routes around the common law and perverted justice in every way they possibly can, to where there is no justice for the citizen, and all those that are supposed to be handing out justice in evenness and fairness are raking in the big bucks and immune from any of the laws that they write for us and they enforce on us. There's a book out that was written several years ago called Smith County Justice, which is the county right next door to us. And if we can find it, we're going to put a link to it on this article so you can see and read what goes on in this East Texas justice system.
Yeah, just for the information of listeners, we know we have listeners worldwide. Smith County is the next county to the north of us from where we're sitting right now. It's about 1.25 miles away, the Smith County line.
And you've probably heard of Tyler, Texas. That's the county seat.
Exactly. Well, I think this is a good time for us to take our first commercial break, and we'll be right back after these words from our sponsor.
Truth seekers and freedom-loving Texans, HiddenMysteries.com is the place to find those hard-to-locate books for your research. HiddenMysteries.com has the largest and most diverse knowledge-based selection on the Internet today. Be sure and visit HiddenMysteries.org for over 12,000 free articles for truth seekers. Visit HiddenMysteries.com today or call 903-876-3256 for a free catalog.
And we're back. Now, Ghost, if people go to HiddenMysteries.com looking for some reading material to give them a lot of good understanding of common law and the legal theories behind the court system and that sort of thing, you have a couple of books. I wanted to ask you, just to give us a quick synopsis of them. The first is Anglo-Saxon Law, and that's by several legal luminaries. The main one people will likely recognize is Henry Cabot Lodge. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Anglo-Saxon Law is what you call the predecessor, or what common law developed out of. If you want to understand your common law and your common law rights, you need to know where it came from. And it's a medium-sized book that will give you all the information that you really need to understand what Anglo law really is. Because Anglo-Saxon law is a little different than almost any other legal system in the world. It's unique to, basically, it's very unique to Britain and the United States and perhaps the Commonwealth. But they're more into an admiralty system in the Commonwealth than even the United States. So you're going to find a very good history and basis for the common law in the Anglo-Saxon book. Our other book is The Common Law by
Oliver Wendell Holmes.
Oliver Wendell Holmes, and that's what you really want to cut your teeth on.
Tell us a little bit about Oliver Wendell Holmes.
He was one of the unique barristers and judges of the 1800s in the United States who saw a lot of these, what we're witnessing and experiencing right now. He saw a lot of the abuses coming.
He was also a Supreme Court justice, wasn't he?
Yes. But he saw ahead of time what was happening.
Okay, and will you be posting links to the book in the article below this podcast?
Sure, we can do that.
All right. Well, we hope everybody has really enjoyed listening to the show as much as we've enjoyed talking about these issues. We will be back next week, Saturday night, and we'll be discussing the book The International Jew by Henry Ford. We'll be discussing all aspects of it, and we'll be comparing the things that Ford talked about in his time and see what, if anything, still holds true today. It should be a controversial show. We hope you'll all come back and listen. I'm Asmodor. For my co-host Ghost, we wish you all good night and good luck.